Bonjour, good afternoon, goeiemôre. What else can we add?
No, I like the bonjour because it made me think of the World Cup win, the Rugby World Cup win. I was like, ha, we're going to greet you in your language, but we won.
Woo! We are the ones. Manne, ons het gewen.
We're so happy to have you with us again on this wonderful Wednesday morning on Surviving Life with the Vambilis.
Yeah, myself, Danny Vambilly, joined by the lovely, amazing, wise lady of the moment.
I can never outdo.
And forever.
I can't outdo these intros.
Lady Vambilly.
I cannot outdo these intros. As always, we are so happy to have you joining us on another installment of our show. And you can always get in contact with us to give us your opinions, your experiences, or any revelations you might have on 071-364-0376.
And if you've joined us before, you know that we always in on having very deep conversations. And Lady Vambilly, as nice as she is, she bites. Okay. But we are excited about today's topic. We are excited to really go in. Lady V, what are we talking about?
We're talking about a red flag focused mindset versus a white flags focus. You know, we've got such a red flag.
Wait. What is this red flag focus? Red flag. The old people are wondering, guys, where are you now? Come, bring us back into it. What is a red flag focused person?
A red flag focused person is someone who always seeks for what's wrong in a situation. You know, we have such a red flag focused culture that we don't often discuss the white flags, the good things. The major issue with knowing more red flags than you do white flags is that according to scripture, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, meaning there's no one that's truly better than the other person. We all need help. We all need God every day to stay on the right path. This means that you will never meet a perfect person. You're more likely to meet someone who's working out their salvation. Your relationship will have you working out that salvation together. But what are the white flags? And how do you decipher whether some people want to work on fixing the red flags or not? So today is going to be more relationship focused, more marriage focused, more dating focused. If you're interested in that, you better stay tuned for more.
I'm a bit surprised because there's a lot of single women listening, Lady
and
V.
Single men. Why you gotta come for the women?
You know, but no, I'm worried because you just used a line here. You said that there's no perfect person.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Lady V? This is, we need a family meeting. Impact Radio family, if you are gathered with us, 071-364-0376. Gather, say we are here, we are ready for this conversation. This Lady V is shaking things up and we want to be here. So we want to hear from you. For now, a quick song by Jean Durand. If you didn't watch the rugby, yeah, you missed out. Congratulations also to Francis Ngannou, who is our new heavyweight champion for the people who watch boxing.
He just had to slip that in.
I had to throw that in there. Tyson Fury, we love you still. But let's enjoy the song called Garden on Impact 103. Jean Durand. Oof. Letitia, what do you think of the song? It's called Garden.
Absolutely stunning, relaxing.
You're with the Vambillies. This is how we're starting off our Wednesday with Jean Durand, Garden. This song even made me love my voice back now.
Recap. As usual, every Tuesday night between 6 and 6:30 p.m., we have the beginning of the live Wednesday topic. And if you were listening in, you would have heard us talking about how society has become so negatively focused, and we're calling that red flags today. And it's like we've just discovered trauma. Everyone has just discovered trauma. And Danny, you and I often say that we're playing the trauma Olympics constantly. Everyone's trying to outdo each other with the amount of trauma that they've seen or been through. And unfortunately, this information is using is being used to break as opposed to heal and to deal. So just because we know the bad doesn't mean we focus on the bad, but we focus on how to make it good and how to focus on the good. Like, for example, we'll say things like someone not showing up on time for a first date is a red flag, but there's something called load shedding and traffic in our country. I don't know if those things are considered. And then while we're at it, let's go straight into the statistics. This is an article that was published by The Hill in February this year, but there are follow-up articles in August of 2023 as well that says that more than 60% of young men are single. Nearly twice the rate of unattached young women, signaling a larger breakdown in social and romantic life in the American male. Men in their 20s are more likely than women in their 20s to be romantically uninvolved, dormant in friendship, and lonely. They stand at the vanguard of an epidemic of declining marriages and relationships that are affecting young people. A person called Noob Way said, "We are in a crisis of connection." This is a psychologist, and they say disconnection from ourselves and disconnection from each other, and it is getting worse. This is an article published by the American Society of Psychology. Now, unfortunately for us, the world trends follow the West, and so if you get this kind of trend from the West, you're going to be looking at a similar trend all over the world. There's actually a well-renowned clinical psychologist. What's your favorite guy again?
Dr.
Jordan Peterson.
There we go.
Dr. Jordan Peterson was actually lamenting in one of his talks at, I think he was at Harvard, and he was talking about how young men are afraid to be men, and they're afraid to approach women, and they're afraid to build relationships. And we're going to talk today about how these things are happening due to a red flag focused society, and it's causing more and more people to even be single or look at their own marriages from a negative light. Danny, do you remember how we were when we first got married? Now, this is a popular thing that people like to say: happy couples don't post.
Mm-hmm.
It's the unhappy couples that are bombarding you with Facebook posts. Mm-hmm. That's why they're unhappy. Listen, when we first got engaged and
we
got married,
so
if you're on our personal Facebook and you've been on for 10 years, you need to message us on 0713640376. Tell us that you didn't want to block us. I had people come to me, babe, and say, "I've blocked you guys because I can't take it anymore." Guys, the battle, the contention to our wedding day, when we got married, I don't even think we could believe it. We were posting every nanos, every date night. You know, if you got me a phone, it was how my baby got me a phone. And you know what? Over time, we just outgrew that. And it wasn't about showing anybody anything. It was just two young, naive children that were just happy to be married and be together.
It's like we didn't know it was illegal to be happy and post about it. And if you did post about it,
you were lying.
You were automatically lying, and you were falling into the bracket of unhappy people who are posting because they're actually not happy. We didn't get the memo.
We didn't. And we found out when we do a yearly jacaranda shoot with the kids. And our first year with our daughter when we were pregnant, but you couldn't really see it. We posted a picture of us at a jacaranda shoot, and some couples page reposted it. And when we saw the comments were, "Oh, she's probably thinking about her side dude, and he's probably thinking about his side chick." And as these young married people, we were just like, what are these people talking about? And that's when we started seeing that marriage and relationships are doomed, because not only are people thinking this way about marriage, including believers, those in the marriage have entered with those kinds of thinking as well.
Yeah, we think that happy couples don't go through anything. You know, so if people were posting when they were happy and then they go through something and it becomes public, suddenly they were pretending
the whole time.
You know, these guys are, they portray what they are not. And it's just interesting to sit back and say, who wrote the rules?
You know, what I think is interesting for me is we need to be mature in the faith and we need to be mature in life. You can wake up in the morning as a married couple and be on the moon, post about it at 3 a.m. and completely be at each other's necks by 6 p.m. If someone walks in on your jumping on each other at 6 p.m., they're going to say, these guys are such liars. They posted at 3 that they were happy. And so today we're just bringing that reality to the show to say that there is nobody that's not going to show some kind of red flag, even in your marriage, and how it is important to use the spirit of discernment rather than all the negative lists that society keeps giving us, so that we can grow together as opposed to throw each other away.
And the worst thing now is you'll hear people asking happy couples or couples who they perceive to be happy, why don't you post? And you're like, but we thought if you post, you're not
happy. Unhappy. It's interesting. They'll say happy couples don't post, and then complain about how all marriages are bad because the people posting are going through divorces and scandals. Shouldn't then we understand that they are happy couples? They're just not posting. So today's show is going to be hot. It's going in that direction. We're talking couples, marriage, grace, and growing together.
Red flags, guys. Let's bring those red flags on the table. Lady V, we are back and we are talking this red flags epidemic. It's an epidemic. You know, when I met my wife,
be careful.
I'm not going to say too much, guys. I want to eat tonight. My wife was a red flag.
I said be careful.
I'm trying to be nice. No, she was red. You know, like the Japanese flag,
how it's
just white and that red dot in the middle. You know, and if I was to have looked at everything that was wrong with my wife, we would not have gotten married. But when I look at it, to tell you the truth, there was so much that was right about her. And, you know, you guys know her now. And there were even things that the Lord was showing me about who should be in future that was not there right then. You know, it's like you look and you're like, Lord, are you saying she's outspoken? She'll be changing the world. But she doesn't want to talk. Hey, Sissy, can you please talk? You've got a voice. We had to fight over
to
a lot
my
of
voice.
Her goodness and her voice. But there was a red flag. Now, there's no human being whose everything is right. That thing, it does not exist, you know. And I am sure, Letitia, please tell them. Tell them your husband had no red flags. I'm waiting.
No, you were not careful, so I'm also not going to be careful. We're going to go there. So, no, but serious, babe, didn't we have a talk about how when we got together, we were the opposite of each other's lists completely.
Yes.
Like even physically, what we were looking for is not each other. And so many
culturally,
what we wanted from a spouse was definitely not. I didn't want your culture, bruh.
No, I didn't want your culture
either. So we started realizing, and this came to us because the longer we were married, whenever we'd get people talking to us about the marriage, they'd say, oh, you guys must have fallen in love, like love at first sight. Absolutely not. This guy was my brother.
The first time I asked her to marry me, she said no, guys.
I said to her, no, these were my words. I said, I like you. I don't know what this is, but it's not that. And it's because I was looking at all the red flags, the things, the tiny things. And I also had a kind of revelation of who he was in the future. And we're going to talk about that later on in the show, how to discern who the person is. So if I had to go with red flags, listen, I will not finish. The whole 2 hours is going to be about that. But we need space to heal, to grow, and to become.
Yes.
You will find a diamond in the rough. And, you know, I've heard this a lot from mature marriages, but I can say this at this point, 10 years together, going on 9 years married. I can say that I enjoy you more now than I did when we first met, because we've done work.
That's true.
But if I had left it there, I would have left and never known what that could have been. And now we get to enjoy the fruits of actually giving each other grace to grow and contributing to the people that we are today.
I think we, as a microwave generation, don't want to give anyone that's the space to heal. We don't believe in growth anymore. We believe we must find someone complete. And we don't believe in becoming, you know. We want to say, hey, my wife must be like this, like this, like that. My husband must have this and be like this and like that. And sometimes the Lord is saying to you, no, no, no. You are going to be part of that building process. You are going to be part of their healing process. You are going to be part of becoming one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going from an image that has, you know, a lot of good things did check out.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sending you into toxic situations.
No, well, that's not what today is about.
What we're saying is, even when you find the right person, there are going to be so-called red flags. And how do we navigate that? How do we say, okay, this Letitia Vambili, oh, she's hit me inside. My heart is gone.
You know, at the end of the day, Danny, you married someone who studied psychology. So, guys, I was hitting him with diagnosis every single day. You know when you've got the knowledge but not the maturity. And there are certain things that take time. And I think what we're discouraging in today's show is we also have the same divorce rate as in the world. When we look at believers, it's a 50% divorce rate, just like in the world. And we are just questioning how much of this is not having the grace to walk with each other in seasons of growth, where we may not be perfect, we may not have it right yet, but we are called for a time such as this to make each other the people that we are supposed to become.
071-364-0376. If there are couples who had to grow, I need voice notes from you. Please try to keep it within the 1 minute mark so we can play a lot of it. But we need to hear from you because it's hot in here. David Leonard, Good Lord.
You know, we have this popular saying as women, like modern day women, we say, I'm not Bob the Builder. Like, I'm not here to build you. And that's not what we're saying. You know, there are clear things that you can see in a person to say, you know, this is what I don't want. But what we're talking about is the over fixation on this perfect person that has it all put it together. I want to question that, to say, were you really called not to fix anybody when the Bible says that we are our brother's keeper, which means in a sense that there's a balance that we bring to one another. And I often use this example to say, if the woman is the glory of the man, according to the book of Corinthians, and the woman is the favor of the man, we see it as well in the New Testament, then it means that there's a certain favor and there's a certain glory that's not there until the man finds the good thing. And I think we as women take that for granted, that we are the good thing that introduces favor and glory in a person's life, where maybe things were not running, and by your introduction, things start running. And we know examples of men who have taken advantage of women who come, and they come into their lives, they build and they leave. But there are also many, many examples where people come together and build something significant when they had nothing. In fact, I met such a woman this weekend at the women's conference at God's Leading Ladies. She and her husband started with absolutely nothing. They were living in their aunt's house, I believe. And right now, they have a very successful water company and they are multimillionaires. And these are the stories that you don't hear in our current time anymore, because women are afraid to join a man who doesn't already have those millions. And I'm going to say something that my dad once said to me. He said, never marry a man that has everything. And I said to him, why? He said, you, Letitia, I want to see you build from scratch. Because when you come into an already set up scenario, you don't matter any more than the furniture. And marriage has tough days. He said, your mom and I can have tough days, but I can never tell her, hey, Wena, did you bring furniture into this house? Those were his words. He said, because we built everything together. There is so much value in building. And even for the people who are inside the marriages, when we lose focus of the fact that God has called us to build nations, to build legacy, and to build one another, the marriage itself can become very laborsome because we lose sight of what we're actually there to do.
I think this is such a key thing, because when I look at who I am today, my wife had to do building.
Mm-hmm.
My wife had to do building. And if she just decided in the first, you know, in our first year of marriage, you had enough reason to leave.
Yeah, I think both of us, because you kind of think, oh, I'm going to say something I was told years ago. People think that marriage is a box. And on the day you say I do, you're given a box. And inside the box is love and respect and companionship and family and all those things. The reality is that marriage is an empty box. And the day you say I do, you are given an empty box. You put in the love, you put in the respect, you put in the companionship. And unfortunately, some people's boxes are filled with negativity.
Yeah.
And so we had to put in the work. And I think the first year can be particularly challenging because you're realizing this box is empty. We have to put the stuff in here.
It's almost like you look into it. And if I was to go back and look at that young Vambili couple who Danny just thought, who is this woman? Hey, God, who has deceived me into marrying this lady? And then the next day, she's so awesome and you're just so in love and you're like, I just want to marry her again. And then the next week, you're like, who is this crazy person? But the balance is we had to build each other up.
Yeah.
And when people look at us now and some will even say, man, I like how you speak on radio and, you know, you take turns and you're not cutting each other. And I'm thinking, man, the first year of marriage, there was a lot of cutting each other.
No, a couple of years. Ooh. We had to learn, guys. We had to go to counseling and we created signals for each other that no one else would see. So we decided, like, if it's my turn to talk, I'll, like, squeeze you or, like, on your thigh so that no one can see that it's my turn. And now all these years later, we don't even have to do that. I can read on his face that it's my turn. He can read on my face that it's my turn. But when people are like, oh, you talk on radio, you don't cut each other, we are laughing. We're like, guys, you don't know. Come in.
So to all you new couples who are thinking you've made a mistake, we've just erased that reason.
That was 363 with The Storm. And today, ironically, we're talking about how to get through the storms of your marriage, even the storms of the dating phase. And in the second hour, we're actually going to talk about what is the white flag in all the red flags, because we know that perfection is only in the Lord. And one thing we keep learning is that you never make it. We are going on our 10th year of marriage. We are proud of some of the things we've been able to overcome as a couple. But there's a couple that's married 20 years looking at us thinking, ooh, those two have so many red flags. They don't even know what's coming. And there's a couple married 50 years that's looking at the 20-year couple. We actually met a couple like that. It was at a congregation in Durban called Mekudeshet. It's ran by Rabbi Roger Link and Annette Link. Hello there in Durban. They were actually telling us, when I told her that we were going on our 10th year, and she was like, oh, that's a nice time. I was like, hi, how old are these people? She had been married at that point 30 years.
Yeah.
So she was telling me how around about the 12th year is so wonderful. And I'm looking at this person, I can't even imagine the 10th year. And that just shows you, you know, there's a part where you have to begin to laugh at each other's imperfections. Mm. When we first got married, I would get into the house and someone warned us. One of our friends said to me when we were engaged, Letitia, the shoes will never be in the bedroom. When you get home, Danny's shoes will be outside and you need to have grace for it. And I was looking at her like, no, but Danny's organized. Like Danny's got his stuff in order. He would never do that. And guess what? Guess what? The man's shoes are so much not in the room. Today, the children pick them up. It's now their job. I will just see my son coming up there with shoes. And I know this is the dad's shoes. Now the kids have joined, you know. And when we first got married, I would be fuming. Like, why doesn't this grown man just pick up his shoes? And all these years later, I'm even laughing. I look at the kids. I'm like, oh, it's so cute, you know. There are certain things that will only fix itself at certain points in your marriage. I want to look at an example in scripture quickly. Abraham and Sarah, they were in their 100 years when God said, you can now be a parent, okay? That means that there was a breakthrough for that marriage in the 100th year of life. So arguably, they were married about 80-some years before the Lord ordained that the fatherhood would enter the marriage. And when I saw that example, I said, what long suffering did these people need in order to understand that the fatherhood and motherhood breakthrough is not coming until the 80th year of marriage? And to use that as an example, that means that there is, when we say that marriage is a lifetime, we take that for granted. That means that there are nuggets for you at different points of that lifetime. That means there's a breakthrough at 9 years. There's a breakthrough at the 10th year. There's something waiting for you guys on the 13th year. But that lack of foresight means that if it's not being done, for me, when a couple divorces within the first 3 years, that's a red flag, because those first 3 years are foundational years where you're building the dirt of this foundation, and you're going to see a lot of bad stuff, right? But you need to understand that since you've committed for a lifetime, there are certain things that will only be fixed on the 5th year. There are certain things that will only be fixed on the 6th year. And you need to give each other grace to grow. The same patience that Jesus gives us to come to Him and walk with Him, we have to exercise that in our marriages as well, with love.
And it's important to find older couples in healthy marriages so you can have a balanced view. You know, what I found in this red flag generation, we have made idols of bad situations, you know, so we will find every single bad situation and we will take that and we'll make it a model. But when it comes to school, when it comes to sports, you have the picture of your favorite sports team, of all their wins, and you're like, yeah, we won this day, we won this day. When you're looking at school, when you're looking at cars, you find the best and you put the best as a standard for you. But when it comes to marriage, oh goodness, when it comes to dating, we find the worst examples. Oh, my dad was a no good this, so I'm gonna make sure on the basis of what he was, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't find a person like, oh, my mom was like this, oh, that marriage divorced like this. Can we stop finding red flags to make idols and golden calves out of these red flags? And these red flags become such loud voices in our lives that we even use them to silence the voice of God. Some of you, even when God is telling you, I can fix your situation, I've got a plan for you, I've got a wife for you, I've got a husband for you, you take the red flag golden calf in your life and you make it greater than the voice of God. 071-364-0376. We want to answer your questions. And in the second hour, we are participating. You are on Surviving Life with the Vambillies.
You know, as we're listening to your voice note in studio, we're just laughing. We're cutting up because it's so relatable. And you know what? You're touching on scripture. I have to go there. 1 Corinthians 7:12. To the rest, I say this, I, not the Lord. So Paul's making it clear. This is me. It's not God. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she's willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he's willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through the wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. So the Bible is actually talking about covering each other. And if you read all of 1 Corinthians 7, there are various ways in which the married spouses cover each other, even if they're both believers. And what you're saying in your message, we just laugh at the humor, and we can hear the experience has been something special. But young people run away when they see work, and I think it's contributing to the divorce rate these days, because you have to work for a good marriage and you have to be patient.
I love what I'm seeing here. This is a brother who was married to an unbeliever who wanted to go consult when he wants to go and pray.
Whew.
But they still made it through and have been married for that long. How many Christians who are both Christians
praying to the same God.
They pray to the same God, they have the same pastors, they have the same counsel, but they are absolutely unwilling to fix their marriages?
Yeah, we have another message. that's come through that we would like to read. And it's from Veronica. It says, oh my word, the topic is so relevant and helpful. Going to be married 23 years next month and it's challenging. I first need to go to counseling and healing for myself and just not getting to it and don't know where to start. Love your show. You know what I would say, Veronica, that we've seen in counseling with couples who've been married long term? You know, there are things that compound. When we don't deal with what's happening in our marriage at that time, the most shocking thing we find is a couple that's 30 years married and they're getting a divorce. Those types of couples, it's not something that happened on the 30th year. And for those of us that are still young in it, like myself and my husband and those listening, it is so important to begin to deal with things as they happen so that they don't compound. So we will pray for you, for the Lord to give you guys the grace to forgive each other for all the things that went wrong in the 23 years. But we also pray for the Holy Spirit to reveal to you both everything that you've built and all the white flags of your marriage, hopefully to encourage you to walk in a new direction with one another and safeguard your marriage.
And Vanessa, if you do need counseling, we will send you a number. Please get help. I think counseling is actually quite an interesting thing. We know we want it, but we don't want to start the process. So it's important to just do it. And maybe as a gift to yourself for your 23 years in marriage, choose to start. Just take that step. As scary as it may be, just take the step and start. You with the Vambillies. We are going deep. 071-364-0376. If you're not married, if you have certain things you're concerned about, certain red flags that you want to put on the table, or you've got questions like, okay, how do we actually distinguish, you know, between red flag A and the check in the spirit, those kind of stuff, you want to stay tuned, you want to send us your messages, because we will go into that when we come back. We just had a couple's moment right now. For those of you watching the video, you saw how she closed the laptop. Yeah, that's a couple's moment. You're with the Vambillies. Enjoy.
So we're reading your messages. It is the second hour. Danny, take us away.
All right. So we read a scripture and we knew even in reading the scripture, it's not what you normally hear, you know, where people would question. And if I can read it again, it says, I want the specific area. To the rest, I say, if any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she's willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer, he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. And for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy.
That is 1 Corinthians 7, verses 12 to 14. Please do read it for context, so that you know this is not our opinion.
Yeah,
this is the New Testament.
We were just reading what is written there. But we also need to make it clear. When the voice note came in, the gentleman also made it clear that it was difficult to be in that situation. You get me? So ideally, what you want to do is you want to find a believer and be equally yoked.
Absolutely.
Because I know the next scripture that will come up is, and I believe someone just sent it to me, we expected this one, but the Bible also says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And that is right. You do not want to intentionally put yourself in that situation unless the Lord gives you the grace. Because if already believers who are both believers are not making it through marriage, then for you to go and find an unbeliever and think you'll be able to survive that, it's really not the best advice. Now, but we have to also be clear, because you also find believers who get saved in their marriage and then decide, because I got saved, I need to divorce my partner. Now, according to scripture, when you read this, it's saying, you stay in, and then later it speaks about your conduct being a way through which the other person can be reached. So you must know that scripture is not just catering to your situation. What if you were raised in a Muslim country and all of y'all were Muslims, and then you get saved within that context? So I'm saying this, that we need to be aware that when you find certain scriptures, don't just look at it from your context. You know, don't just consider the country you're staying in, the circumstances you find yourself in. You must know that the Lord is covering beyond what you can conceive.
Yes.
And that's why scriptures like this, we read them as is and we leave them as is.
And you know what's important is that as believers, and yes, we're getting your messages, please do keep sending them. As believers, we have popular verses that we read at church, and we read those verses and that's it. But the Bible is really broad, and this is a scripture that we don't read about often. And when I read the scripture, what I see is that to be with an unbeliever, you're called to that. It's a special, it's not an everybody is sent to do this thing. It's for specific people, and they will know who they are. I actually know a couple like that, where the Lord had said to the wife, and they'd been married 30 years before the man's demise, may he rest in peace. And she knew that she was marrying a Muslim man and that the Lord had called her to conversion. And it took them about 10 years in the marriage, but he did convert and he did die as a believer. The advice, the main advice is do not be equally yoked. Unequally yoked. There's a reason for that. The first thing you should do is try your best to marry a believer. But God has led some people into marriages with unbelievers for the purpose of their conversion. Now, if you want to read more about this, all of 1 Corinthians 7 speaks of the different situations people find themselves in marriage. And even as we have these discussions, our brothers and sisters in the faith, we need to have grace to understand that everybody's marriage is different. And 1 Corinthians 7 tries its best to cover all aspects of people who may find themselves in marriages that are not necessarily conventional.
And our job also as Impact Radio is to present all cases, because I might be sitting in a situation where I am married to a believer, right? And it's easy for me to have faith and have hope and not divorce. But there's someone else listening who is married to an unbeliever who probably got converted while in their marriage, and they sitting there and thinking, I'm hopeless. This situation is just going to end badly. I need to divorce. So we also have to play the testimonies of people who were in the opposite situation, but the Lord pulled through for them. So we're not doing it to confuse anybody. If anything, we're doing it to encourage those in those situations to trust the Lord, because the Lord can change those situations. Now, stop finding fault from each other, as you yourselves are not perfect. Learn to appreciate the other. Communication is key, and with the attitude of finding the solution, not to blame, but be patient. It's been working for 33 years for me.
Thank you for your message. It's so encouraging.
That is from Malinga Muzi. Malinga, thank you for that.
We are talking about red flags and seeing all the red flags in the relationships and none of the white flags. I want to talk now, to steer it away from looking at the physical to looking at the spiritual. We need to look at the difference between red flags and checks in our spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will have you walking with someone by revelation. Danny mentioned earlier that he had revelation of who I would be, but I was not that chick. And so he was wondering, what is this woman doing in my life? And the same with him. I had revelation of who he would be, but I would look at him and I'm like, who is this guy versus the guy that I'm seeing in my mind? You know, the thing about red flags is that it's these lists that we make, and they're informed by society and whatever has happened in our lives. Unfortunately, red flag lists are quite carnal. They are fleshly. We tell ourselves, I want him to be tall. I want him to be this. I want him to be that, without considering the work that God might do in a person. I can just imagine, I mean, I don't have scriptures about who Gideon's wife necessarily was. But when she would have met him as a young man, he wouldn't be a warrior. One day, he became a warrior. That's why revelation is so important. Now, I want to talk about a story that I saw on TikTok this past week, a very devastating story of a woman who was talking about the red flags. And her topic was quite interesting. She was saying how to see the red flags in a person that has no red flags. And I thought, huh? What kind of story is this? So her story is that she married the perfect man. And for many, many years in their marriage, they did not have problems. And then suddenly the emotional abuse started coming in, but the man never ever laid hands on her. Eventually, they decided that they just weren't compatible and she filed for divorce. Once the divorce came through, he had visitation with their four children. One of these days that he had visitation, he ended up attacking both her and her four children. One of those children lost their lives and she has got effects from that attack for the rest of her life. Now, her story is that this man had no red flags at all. One day he just snapped due to the divorce and her children's lives were at risk. I'm giving this story to say that it is more important to walk through life with the revelation from the Holy Spirit than it is about the red flags. Because sometimes you do meet someone who has had a rough past, who has done things in the past that for you look like they are red flags. But it's about the peace and the assurance of the Holy Ghost to know, is this the person? Is this not the person? And that's what's missing a lot with so many young people. And I always say, before you take that big fat step, there's no amount of lists that can show you what the future will bring. It is really just best to trust the Lord. You know, some people say to me, how did you know your husband's so amazing? I didn't know anything. In fact, I said no. All I knew is that when I prayed about it, I had a lot of peace and I had confirmation from different places. So we need to decipher whether it's we're red flagged focus or check in the spirit focus. You can be with the perfect guy, but something in your spirit just says, not this one. Please follow that as opposed to all the lists that society gives us.
And that's right, Letitia. I would like to also add that, you know, the check in the spirit is so key. Because we also find carnal standards that are white flags. You know, I want someone who works at this particular place. I want to live an Instagram life, you know, and all these things can check out and the Lord can still give you a check in your spirit to say, don't go there. You know, so if your flags, your white flags are carnal, you can find yourself having a problem. Are you hearing me? A problem because you're using carnality as a standard. But all in all, the Holy Spirit is there to lead us. If we are willing to pray, the Spirit of the Lord will lead us in whichever decisions we are making. But what we don't want from you is to walk around being a person who looks for everything that's wrong. Some of us, we can have everything and just find one word wrong and decide, you know what, because of this one thing, I'm getting out. I'm shutting you out. I'm deleting you as a brother in Christ. That's not how we're called to walk with each other. In fact, we are called to engage. We're going to have disagreements. We're going to learn from each other. We must approach each other from a position of good faith. Unless the Holy Spirit tells you, you know, leave. And if that's the case, you know, you've gotten your confirmation and you can't move on.
I just quickly want to read a scripture, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. This is the NIV. And it says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. This scripture, no matter which translation you read it in, is telling us that we are transformed by what we contemplate. And the scripture is saying, when we contemplate the Lord's glory, we are transformed into his image, which is an ever-increasing glory. And today we are questioning, we are asking the question, what happens to you when all you contemplate is demons and red flags?
Yeah, that's a deep one. And a lot of us need to allow for that growth to happen. But here's a message, Letitia. Tell me what you think. It says, I was wondering how to deal with two believers in a marriage, but they are on complete different levels of spiritual growth. Unequally yoked, I find the interests are just so diverse. It makes conversation, communication difficult.
Whew. I don't know if you're the one that has a problem with them or if they're the ones that have a problem with each other. I think if it's for them, I don't know, when you're on the outside of a marriage, it's tough.
Yeah.
I think when you're noticing it on the outside and the two people in the marriage have not acknowledged what you're seeing, that can be quite hard to deal with. So I'm not sure, you know, if maybe they call you in as a counselor or some kind of mediator, then you can deal with it. But it can be really tough to watch a marriage you think is unequally yoked or falling apart, because if they don't give you the space to speak into the marriage, then all you can do is observe, right? Don't know what you'd say.
Right. I would also take it to the book of Philippians, Philippians 3, I believe. I don't have it open before me, but at some point, I think in verse 14, Paul says, he touches on differences in belief. And then he says, where we do not agree, the Lord will correct us. But for now, where we agree, let's take that and walk together. I'm paraphrasing, the scripture's not in front of me, but I'm just giving you the gist of it to say, sometimes people are in disagreement and differently or in different levels spiritually. It's still, and they're married, right? It's not reason for divorce. Sometimes it takes time for them to get onto the same page. Now, Let me take myself and my wife.
Yes. Oh, you have to. You have to.
When I met her, I'd been in ministry for a very long time, you know. So she wasn't there. She didn't even think, you know, she could preach, you know. But I could see that, but she wasn't there. And in our marriage, she grew and grew. And now when people meet us, it's like, wow, they're on the same page. But there's also people who've met us in seasons where maybe I was discouraged. And then it looked like, yo, but his wife is in it and he is not.
Hmm.
You get me? And that is marriage. 33 years, 40 years, you'll find so many things happening. I remember actually speaking to a couple and their story was so amazing. One of them actually became unsaved while they were both Christians.
Ooh.
But the other continued praying, and then it saved the other back. The other came back to God. And then at some point, the other couple also left the Lord. You know, yet now it was the turn of the other one to stand in the gap. But today, they're both back in the Lord.
Yes. And I used to, when we first got married, I used to wake up in the morning and Danny will be like, the Lord says this is what we must do. And I would look at him like, who, where, how? When he spoke, was I sleeping? Because when did God tell you? And it looked like Danny and God had such a beautiful relationship. And you know, that started to make me feel bad about my relationship with God. And when things would happen in our marriage, I would feel like, oh God, of course it will, because your son is in it. I felt like Danny in our marriage was God's favorite. But the truth is that spiritually, he was just way more mature than me. But today, 10 years later, I can wake up in the morning and be like, the Lord says we should tithe this much to this person.
There's even seasons where I'm like, but God, you're talking to her. Why are you not talking to me? You know, and when I'm saying that, I'm not saying like I was disagreeing. Like Letitia would hear such clear sound things and I'd be like, wow, look, you know, let me give an example. We were in an international platform. We were praying for someone and Letitia brought out in writing the exact scene, the exact people, and the Lord showed her that scene maybe 4 or 5 months before it happened. You know, so I was like, wow. And everyone in the room was like, this is so accurate. In those words, I'm like, God, but you showed your daughter. Why did you not show your son?
How the tables have turned or merged, if you will.
They merge and they are seasons.
Some beautiful local music this afternoon, My Shepherd, CRC Music.
Lady V, wow, we have come to the end of the show, but Susanna sent something. Stand in the gap. Couples, you better stand in the gap. No matter what's happening in your marriage, don't give up. Don't look at other people's situation where it didn't work or whatever. Stand in the gap. Someone else said, beautiful show. Listened from yesterday, Red Flags. And the continuation this afternoon is absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
We are so encouraged. And you know, when Danny is saying stand in the gap, that is so scriptural, because in the book of Ecclesiastes, when it says that two are better than one because one can lift the other. Scripture is actually saying that you're together because at some point one will be down and the other will have to lift the other. And these topics we're bringing in, especially to our generation and below, because we are so self-focused, self-aware, self-inspired, self-indulged, and we are taught to empower ourselves and encourage ourselves, but we are not taught to carry other people. That's why we can say things like, I'm not Bob the Builder. We think we must marry someone that is perfect, that has it all figured out, when the truth is that God calls you on a journey of becoming together as a couple. And you do have a role in who your husband becomes. Man of God, you do have a role in who the woman of God becomes. It's an encouragement to say that when you watch other couples who look like they know what they're doing, it's because at some point, someone had to stand in the gap for the other. I think when we got married, I didn't even know how to fast. But there was a season when all I was doing was fasting for my marriage and standing in the gap for my husband. The grace is sufficient, and the Lord will give you what you need to get through your marriage.
Well, Swanky just said, thank you, the Vambilis, God works in the mysterious way. Swanky, if we called your number today, we are grateful that the Lord used us to call you.
We wanted to also say, as we speak about red flags and white flags, you know, the Lord just dropped this in my spirit a while back. He said, information either transforms or deforms. Either way, you are being formed. It's the message that informs you, hence information. So you have to be very careful at what you're focusing on. At the beginning of the show, we gave statistics at how many people are single today. Marriage rates have declined, and there are statistics of birth rates declining, countries in crisis because population rates are declining. If your focus is only the red flags of people, you are more likely to be single. But if you start diligently seeking the Lord on how to decipher the things of the spirit, you may find your person, even if they are a diamond in the rough.
And I'm Letitia, you know this quote, I'm like, man, I need to put this on a shirt. Information either transforms or deforms. And this thing, and either way, you are being formed. I mean, wow, Letitia, that is such a wow. You know, this is a wow, wow, wow moment. Why? Because we take lightly the information that we're consuming. So if everything you consume is, this one broke up, that one didn't work out, this was a red flag, that was a, man, it is deforming you. Sir, you are being deformed. If everything you hear about successful women is, no, they're going to walk all over you, don't marry a successful woman, dude, you are being deformed. You know, if all you hear is, you know, Christians are fake, they will present a fake image and all of this thing, you are being deformed.
And that's why Philippians 4 verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good of good report, if there are any virtue, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." What is the virtue of your marriage? What is the praise of your marriage? What is the good report of your marriage? When we focus on just what is bad, that is all we are going to see, and it's going to inform how we see the world and how we see people.
Guys, I think we're wrapping up the show, but it's even getting deeper. Someone just sent us a message. Very true. Thank you for this conversation. I asked the Lord to give me a husband that a man of God this year. My fiancé was not that close to God as I was, and I've been praying, fasting, and interceding for him, and always talking about God to him. I thought I was doing everything in vain, but praise be to God, he's been reading his Bible more and fasting and praying.
Come on, can I go
too
into tongues on radio? I'm about to re-ba-ba-ba.
Someone just added, Adelise, Letitia, I'm going to use that as my WhatsApp status. Annalise, me and you both, girl, because this is deep. And in closing, what are we talking about next week, Letitia?
Well, it's going to be a surprise. In the last couple of weeks, we've just been hitting you as the Lord leads and gives us the topics you don't want to miss out. You can, of course, listen to us starting Tuesday night between 6 and 6:30 p.m.
Yep, and that's normally a 30-minute slot. And then on Mondays, you can catch Letitia. She's got a special space for women where it is all about transforming the soul and bringing it to the place where your spirit is. Right here on 103 FM. 11 until 1 p.m. That is on Mondays.
And then, of course, you know, Wednesdays we are live in studio to chat about the topics with you. Thank you so much for being in touch with us today. We really enjoyed talking to you. And as usual, we hope you have a wonderful day further.
And all our shows are on YouTube. They'll be posted later today. So you want to go on to Impact Live on YouTube and you can see this. You can follow us also, the Vambillies, on Instagram, on Facebook. And then if you also want to contact us, we've got a website, thevambillies.com. I believe that's right, right?
That is right. You have a wonderful day. God bless you and stay tuned to Impact 103.
As you can see, even on air, when I'm not sure, I've got my special person next to you guys. Hey, you don't have to be perfect, but you need the Lord to put you with the right person.